Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode
34,
I think. of the Depressed Breakfast Club. As you know, we were not around last week, and that's because Taylor worked 13 days in a row. So if during this podcast she goes into a fit of giggles, it's because she's tired. So anyways, before we get started, our topic today is going to be housing, the rising cost of rent, buying a house, and how that can hamper your mental status. So before we go any further, once again, we're not medical professionals. Everything we say here is our opinions. You may not agree with them, so send us an email. Let us know. If you think you are having mental health issues, please go see your doctor. Talk to someone. Joyelle has some phone numbers for you to help you through the dark periods. Joyelle?
Yep. So if you're feeling suicidal or just need somebody to talk to, you can call the suicide hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text 45645. And if you're in the U.S., you can call 988 or text TALK to 741-741. So please, if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, these are some numbers you can reach out to, or you can reach out to friends, family, your doctor. And on to Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. Hope this Sunday on the long weekend is treating you well. As always, the general reminder that our email is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We love to hear from you guys. As for the quote that we have for this weekend, it's actually a reminder to ourselves in this group, as well as all of our listeners. Excuse me. Sometimes you forget you're awesome, so this is your reminder. It's nice and simple and just gets straight to the point. And also, there's no real good mental health quotes for the astronomical pricing of living, renting, housing costs, car costs. That one might be just me. I'm jaded about it now.
Especially if you live in your car.
Frick, I might have to.
Rent's too high.
I might have to.
I don't even have a car to live in. Shit.
So I'm a homeowner. My husband and I built our house 23 years ago when interest rates were good and housing was not booming. We have a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom split ranch, finished basement, pool in the backyard, which we added. Huge backyard. Our lot is 83 feet across and 163 feet deep.
Damn.
When we built our house, it cost us $169,000 to build our house.
69.
If we were to sell our house today, we could probably get $400,000 for it. Easy.
Nothing more than that.
I would say it would be more than that because, so I don't own a house currently, obviously, as you two know. But when I bought my house over on McNorton, I bought it for $242,000. And then when I sold it for just over $400,000. And my lot was not big at all. Like, it was a tiny little short stubby thing. So,
well, I say $400,000 because, yes, the houses down the street that have sold have gone in the $500,000 range. I put ours lower because I did all the landscaping. It's pretty, but it's not perfect. And our driveway isn't completed yet. It's not cemented. That'll happen next spring. Because the company got so far behind with the bad weather we had all summer. So that I would look, the price would be lower because of that. Like there's not issues, like it needs a paint job, yes, but we don't have broken things in the house, like all the doors shut. The closets have doors, you know.
Windows work.
Yeah, the windows work. They get cleaned every now and then. But yeah, for those two reasons.
So I go on realtor.ca, which is like in Canada, it lists all the houses for sale by realtors and stuff. And I like to just go and see what's out there and what I can no longer afford. And let me tell you, Dana, so when I was married, we lived in a semi-detached house. Ours was, I think, like 30 feet across by 206 deep. So it was really a deep lot. And at that time we paid like $139 for it. And so that's like, you know, going back, like that would have been like 2007. So there's a subdivision here in Amherstburg that has basically the same type of semi-detached houses. Like they look almost identical to like what we had owned, and but they have like very like small lots, and that like they're nowhere near like even as big as your lot, like deep wise. And I was looking the other day, and one is up for sale, and the basement is not finished whatsoever. They are asking $469,000. Oof. I was like, are you kidding me? And then I was, before I moved to my dad's, I was renting in, well, a long time ago, it was apartment buildings. And then they decided to sell the apartments as condos. So that building is one really old. It has baseboard heating. You don't have central air or anything. You have like a wall air conditioner, no dishwasher in your units, no washer dryers in your units. 650 square feet, one bedroom, one bath. First off, when I first started renting there, I was paying $900. All included, which was a pretty good price. Mm-hmm. Now I was there.
Okay, hold on a second. When you say all included, what does all included include?
So it included all my water, my hydro. The building doesn't have gas. My okay. parking spot, one parking spot, and the condo fees.
Okay.
Damn.
So that was all included. It was $900. Now, I lived there for 6 years, and so by the time I left, I was paying $1,160, and I was one of the cheaper rents in the building, because they were up by that time over $1,500 to rent it, and people were selling them. Right. So when they originally turned to condos, they cost about $89,000 to buy a unit. They were selling them between $260,000 and $300,000.
Holy fuck. Jesus. For a one bedroom?
One bedroom. You don't have a dish.
Baseboard heating.
Baseboard heating, you don't have central air, you don't have in-suite laundry. Some of them, though, do have dishwashers now, depending on, because people remodeled them,
mm-hmm.
right, when they bought them. the one I lived in wasn't remodeled at all, and stuff, and it didn't have a dishwasher. But yeah, and I just there's one up for sale now, and I believe it's $269 they want for it. But I've seen them go for $299.
Jesus.
And wow. I mean. Like, that is just craziness. Like, and I, so, like, of course, when my dad offered me this place for, like, $600, plus I pay part of the utilities, and that's, so it comes out to about $800 all in. Like, how could I not, right? Because,
yeah, for sure.
Even though, like, I think it's ridiculous. We make very good money where we work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason... on the wage we make, being a single person with no children, that I shouldn't own a house, that I shouldn't have a nice car, that I shouldn't be able to go on vacations.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I can't do any of those things because I work just to pay bills.
Yep.
And I find that very... affects my mental health very strongly because being 47 and not being able to own a house, it makes me feel like a loser. And then it makes you feel bad because you go to work and you work your butt off every single day and you come home, but what are you working for? You can't go out anywhere. Groceries are crazy, like $8 for frickin' a head of fucking cauliflower.
Yep.
Like, I bought two heads of broccoli and it cost $6. Like, so it gets, I think not just me, I think everybody probably is struggling mentally with that.
Oh, 100%.
Because you can't go on vacations and you can't, and I don't understand how people with kids survive. And I went just the other day looking to see about like what it was out there for rent and stuff, and like there is nothing under $1,500. So,
well,
how, I can't afford that to be sitting on my myself and then all your bills. And at 47, I don't want a freaking roommate. Like, how pathetic is that?
See, but that's the issue, is that... So, we're taught very much on this side of the world, and it drives me up a fucking wall, that if you have a roommate or you share a house with someone, anything like that, that you're a loser and you're pathetic. And the truth of the matter is that it's not, especially with how the economy is right now. I would love nothing more than to be able to find some perfectly laid out house and be able to share it and say, okay, get a couple friends together and go, okay, this will be our place. We'll each put in, like, we'll make up a house account where we all put in 1/3 of the cost of the bills. We all just toss it in, that goes towards paying everything, and the rest of the money we get to save. Because in other parts of the world, families still all live together. Even after they're married, spouses will move in with one of the two families. The amount of money that they get to save just by doing that alone, because they don't have a $500,000 house that they have to try and struggle to pay, and they're able to go and do things, like you said, Peanut. You can't go on vacations. You can barely afford to pay for your bills. And we get paid exceptionally well. Like, the way that I look at our paychecks every month, I'm like, okay, the first two paychecks of the month, got to make sure that they're full. So that way then I have all of my, my rent is covered. So I'm good for that. So I have that. And then after that, the following 2 weeks, if I want to hit crew down, it's not going to kill me. But then when you have unexpected costs come up, like car issues, it's like, okay, well, now I got to go the opposite way. I've got to actually put in for overtime. And what I find sad is that when my mom and I rented this place originally, it was expensive, back then before COVID hit, and it was $1,500 a month. Now, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love this place. It's fantastic, gorgeous view, nicely located out here. I want to move back to the city, but that's besides the point. Good size rooms, has everything, all that fun stuff. And I'm glad that we got it when we did, because after COVID hit, the fucking price of rent skyrocketed everywhere, where something like this, where you have three giant bedrooms, a giant bathroom, spare room off the back, huge ass kitchen, gigantic living room, this would be going for $3,000 a month just for this one level.
Oh, easy.
And that's truly, like, that's just horrifying, because who can afford to live like that? Like, you become house poor. You can't do anything with your life. And it's why I've wanted to just have a place with friends for years, because when I was a teenager at Curves, I worked there when I first started. And there was a lady there who went and bought a farmhouse. And back then it was cheaper. So she bought it with, I think she actually bought it with strangers, but there were about five or six of them, and they each had their own room. The living room and kitchen were communal. All the rest was like they had for themselves. But all she had to put in was, I want to say $400 to $500 a month, if not less. And all the rest she just got to keep for herself. So every single year, on top of this, she was a teacher. But every single year, she would go away on huge-ass vacations. She traveled everywhere in the world because she was able to afford it. Because she didn't have to worry about, oh, well, I got to make sure that I can cover the mortgage and make sure I can cover gas and hydro and water. And, oh, hey, we have to worry about this. She actually had a shit ton of disposable income, because she was able to share all of the costs and the responsibilities on top of that. So that's been like one of my dreams since teenagerhood.
That's a nice dream. So my daughter and her boyfriend are at the stage in their life where they're ready to be out on their own. My daughter still has her clothes here and some of her belongings. Most of the 98% of the time she spent at her boyfriend's house. They have been talking about buying a house for about a year. And they've been saving their money. Now, my daughter's boyfriend is an RN and he works over in the US. So he makes very good money. My daughter just graduated with her master's degree, and she is an employment specialist at the YMCA, but worked all through her master's as a research assistant and got paid well. They say they have a very nice down payment. When working with a realtor who's a friend of mine, he says, what are you guys looking at? Like, how much are you willing to spend? How much did you get pre-approved for?
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at two people that are bringing in well over $5,000 a month. Couldn't get beyond 350.
Mm-hmm.
And when looking at houses, yeah, if you want to live in the fucking rat infested areas of Windsor, you can get a house for about
$280,000. Yep.
It's asinine. Interest rates are like, what, 7 point something right now on a mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to rent. And it's a situation where they're renting a house that was literally built in 2021. So it's a brand spanking new house. Beautiful. She showed me photos. It's gorgeous on the inside. All hardwood floors. Just immaculate, right? But that's the situation they're in, where they have to rent just to be able to say, we're out on our own. We have our responsibilities. And then continue to look for a home that they can afford. And I mean, my daughter, you know, they're not asking for much. Phil wants a garage to park his car in. Sam wants two bathrooms. Like, you know, it's not big demands, but it's I feel like my heart breaks for them. Because it was just, you know, when IT and I built our house, it was just so easy for us. Mm-hmm. We walked in, got pre-approved for the mortgage. There's your house. Boom. Bob's your uncle. I see these young adults going out into the world and they're struggling right off the bat. That's not the way it should be. I don't know what the hell our government has done, but a 24-year-old that makes 30-some-odd dollars an hour shouldn't be fucking struggling to live. Like, my brother has a basement apartment. His rent is lovely. He'll probably, you know, unless he gets into this one place where he wants to live, he will probably die in that house. It's a threeplex. It's the top, the middle, and the lower, and he has the lower. Like I said, his rent is very good. But if he hadn't moved there and worked out a deal with the owner where, you know, he shoveled the walkway, mowed the lawn, kind of did some stuff outside. He works at the hospital in food service. He wouldn't be able to afford rent right now.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So, like, Joyelle, when I think of you, like, honestly, I'm like, this is so not fair. And, you know, you hear people say, well, apply for gear to income. Yeah, you know what? I don't have 7 years to fucking wait for an apartment to come available.
Not only that, we make a lot of money.
I was going to say, that's the issue, is the amount of money. Because geared to income is obviously geared to your income. But up here, when you have it and we're making basically around the $25 to $30 mark, the geared to income just laughs in your face. And it's like, well, no, you make more than enough money. You should be able to, theoretically, afford the living circumstances that you can go and pay full price for stuff. And it's just, it's completely disheartening when you see the price tags attached to everything. Mm-hmm. And when you start adding it all up and you're like, okay, even if I didn't want all of the things that I wanted, where it's like, okay, I just need a couple bedrooms, a bathroom, and that's it. Like, okay, have some electricity coming in. I'll survive. And even for the bare minimum, they can't afford it. And I remember, I just thought of this now, because Mama was reading news articles, and it was a big hubbub in the newspapers, probably about a month, maybe two ago now, where the homeless people were actually signing up for, I can't remember, is it called, I think it's called MAID, for assisted suicide here in Canada.
Yes.
So the homeless people, because they can literally not afford, it's not even that they don't have jobs, they have jobs, but they can't even afford to live. They're living on the streets, no food, no roof over their head, barely have clothes on their back. And I remember there was a group of people who were trying to sign up for assisted suicide because they're like, we cannot afford to live. But they're being denied for that too, where the government's like, well, you don't have any reason not to be able to live. Like, we cannot afford anything.
That's a very vicious circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this. You get a job. You have that job, but you can't afford rent, food, clothing. So you're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lose your job. Mm-hmm. And you hear so many people say, you know, if they just got a job. How fucking easy is it to get a job when you don't have a permanent address?
Yep.
And again, those Karens of the world say shit like, well, you can work at Tim Hortons. You still don't have a permanent address. And mm-hmm. working at Tim Hortons isn't going to get you enough money to pay $1,500 rent, because I'm talking West End slums, $1,500
a month West End rent. Yeah, they are. That is, I no joke, when I was looking... Even the stuff in the West End on Sandwich Street and that was going for like $1,500. And even to rent, even like there was people like renting out rooms, they were renting them out at like $900, $800 just to rent a room.
For one room where you have to share the bathroom and share the kitchen with everybody else who lives in the house.
Yeah.
Student living is crazy. You see, just peruse Kijiji or Craigslist or anything, even Facebook Marketplace, you'll see somebody that says, I live close to the university, I have 5 rooms to rent. There's a picture of the room, and it's like maybe 10 by 10, 10 by 12, you know, enough for a bed and a dresser and maybe a desk if you squeeze sideways and you're thin. And they say $800 a month for a student.
The one thing I absolutely regret is when I was going through my divorce and I was just so emotional, so distraught, so beat down that I didn't fight for my house. And I wish I would have fought harder to keep my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that time, I wasn't thinking, but like I had amazing credit. I had no debt. And I didn't even think of trying to get a mortgage to buy out my husband. And it's my one thing I truly regret it, because let me tell you, rent, just struggling these last 7 years with the raising cost of rent, not just rent, food, everything, gas prices, good Lord. There's weeks when it's like, yeah, do I go to work today? Because I can't really afford to put gas in my car, and I don't have enough to last me the whole week.
Yep.
Is very mentally draining. It's mentally challenging. It brings all my anxiety out. It stresses me. It makes me sick to my stomach. Then you're sick and you can't go to work and you lose money, which then creates more stress because you can't pay debt, and more stress because you can't pay your bills because you're not going to work because you're so stressed and sick and...
It's that vicious circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you're running on a track and there's... Somebody shut the gate and you can't get off. But if you stop running, you know, it's horrible. I feel... My heart goes out to people that are struggling like that. It really does. My mom, perfect example. My mom and dad lived in Amherstburg, and they lived in an apartment building down by the river. And the rent wasn't astronomical, but their apartment wasn't big either.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bedroom, a living room, a very tiny kitchen, a bathroom, and a pantry. That was it. It was all it was like an old people's apartment building. There's no young people there. When my dad died, my mom was going to stay in the apartment building. And we looked, you know, my dad passed away 5 years ago. So I'm going back 5 years before the big market boom.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at what her expenses would be. I mean, you know, if she wanted a telephone, if she wanted to watch TV and had cable, or even like an antenna,
mm-hmm.
a TV. Like, covering her bills, her rent, and her food, her pensions weren't enough. So, my mom lives in our basement now. My husband and I don't charge her rent, like she's my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, mom, rent's due. You know, but still, if you don't have somebody that's willing to do that for you, if I didn't live in Windsor or in LaSalle, and my brother lived away, if we didn't live around where my mom lived,
mm-hmm.
where would she have gone?
Yep.
So you try to do what you can to help people. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
You try to do what you can to help people. On the other hand,
yeah.
my dad and them just add more stress to me. Because, like, God forbid I'm a week late with paying my money.
Yeah.
And which is going to add stress to me because now I'm going back to work and I'm going to go a week without pay. So I'm going to lose that week of pay. And how do I make up for that when I'm already behind on stuff?
And if you try to talk to him about it,
mm-hmm.
It's like he's not understanding what you're saying. You're going to get frustrated. Your anxiety is going to go boom.
Yeah.
Your stress level is going to go up. And mm-hmm. you're going to be...
And it's already up, right?
Because right back mm-hmm. where you are.
It's already up. Because it's like, I don't want to be late on rent. And I don't want to not pay this. And I don't want to not pay that. But I'm already in my mind calculating, how do I make, when I get paid this week, how do I make $670 last 2 weeks with having to put gas in my car for the next 2 weeks to go to work,
mm-hmm.
for having to buy groceries, for having to pay a car payment, for having to pay for my utilities, and that's not paying my phone bill that I'm late on already, my cable that's late. Like, how am I going to do this? So the stress is already, like, the anxiety and the stress, and it's like, frick, I haven't even got the check yet and I'm already stressed.
Yeah, it's like,
it doesn't stop.
You're in a constant state of paranoia.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Like, nobody, and I mean nobody should have to look at whether they put gas in their car or eat dinner. Nobody should have to do that. You know what I mean? And when you have people saying, like you just did, Peanut, do I put gas in my car to go to work or do I buy groceries?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be an or do I.
Yes. Yeah. It should just be, it should never be a point in time when you have to try and pick one need over another. The whole point of like the hierarchy of basic needs, like, okay, well, you have basic needs. You're not supposed to have to try and choose between which basic need is being met. All of those are supposed to be being filled, and then everything else is extra. Like, okay, yes, as much as I love having something like Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that stuff, those aren't actual needs. Those are wants. Those are added things to make life better and more worth living. So those, yes, you can always choose to have those or not. But when it comes down to basic needs, those are not something that we're supposed to have to actually pick and choose between which one do we want. Oh, do I have clothes to get dressed and go to work today? Or do I try and go to work naked because I had to put gas in my car instead of getting new clothes that don't have holes in them everywhere?
Yeah, because you're not allowed to wear holes on the floor.
Excuse me, you have a holy shirt, what a thith. Trying to get extra money, do you want to pay me?
Yeah, and then on top of it, my car needs tires. My window broke, as Dana's seen, we can't roll down my window. And now I notice my car is overheating.
Mm-hmm. Your what?
My car started overheating.
Oh.
And it's like, where do I get the money for that?
It's crazy.
I mean, going back to work, I'll start, you know, I'll get more than what I'm getting being off. So slowly, but
well,
and people need to have patience.
Yeah, but you're gonna be playing catch up.
Yes.
Right.
I have been playing catch up for 7 years since my divorce, and my husband stopped paying the alimony. I have been playing catch up.
Why did he stop paying it? Was it an agreement that he only paid it for so long?
He was supposed to pay it for, we between us had agreed that he would pay it for 6 years. Because that is what we had, if we had went to a lawyer, we had like done research and stuff. And so he only had to pay me $550 a month for 6 years. And he just up and decided that he didn't want to pay it, that he couldn't afford to pay it anymore. And then I seen his girlfriend had a nice new diamond engagement ring on it. And then when I threatened to go to a lawyer, he stopped paying.
So, he obviously doesn't live in the house that you guys bought.
Oh, no. No. And he wouldn't let me stay in the house.
How come? So, obviously, he sold it. How come you didn't get half of the sale of that house?
Oh, because there was nothing. Because we had just redone our mortgage. And we basically sold the house for pretty much what we owed. So by the time we paid lawyers and stuff, I think we each got something like $1,000 or $2,000.
All right.
And that, because we had to pay a penalty because we had just redone our mortgage.
Right, right. Again, stupid.
Yep.
Another dumb rule. I'd like to pay my mortgage off early. All right, but we're going to have to penalize you for that.
Yep.
How dare you have extra money?
Yep. And I didn't want to sell it. I wanted to keep the house. I was just going to pay him rent. Like, I was going to pay the mortgage, so I wasn't really going to pay him. I was going to pay the mortgage and stuff and everything for the house until I could get a mortgage, like, till I could buy the house. So I was settled because this all happened so quickly, right? And he refused. And I was just so distraught and so that I just did what he wanted me to do.
Yeah. There goes Taylor. She's laughing.
Yes, your fault. They're really taking your glasses.
Yeah,
it's one of my biggest regrets because, I mean, the mortgage was only $500-something a month.
Damn.
Yeah. And so, like, but he just after saying he didn't not want to screw me over, that's all he freaking did.
Yeah. Asshole.
Yeah. Yep, because we had a absolute agreement. Well, between us. Which I should have never trusted in the first place. Now, but when I went to a lawyer, I didn't have $2,500 as a retainer.
Again.
And my dad was like, well, I don't have any money to help you. And my dad at that time was still working.
I know you guys can't see me out there, but my eyes are rolling back in my head.
They're going to roll so far back that they're going to come back around again.
Oh.
Like I said, it's horrifying to see what state the world is in, at least again on this side of the world. I don't know how bad it is in other parts, but over here, just the cost of housing and all the price tags associated with it, to the point that we can't take care of our own mental health when you think about it, because when everything is consumed in making sure that your house is paid for, your gas is paid for, electric, all of the bills that are actual needs, by the time that you're done doing that, yes, there's things out there, because I know people say, oh, well, you could just go for a walk. That's free. That's free to be out in nature. And you're not wrong. But some people don't have access to walking trails, per se. Like when I lived in the city, actual Windsor, my walks that I went on were the concrete jungle of the city. Broken sidewalks that were upheaved and all that. It's like, you're not really connecting to nature. Out here, I have access to it because I live out in the county for right now. So yes, I have access to it if I'm willing to walk to it or drive to it and then walk along the trails.
Right.
But I consider myself lucky for that ability because I know not everyone has that access. But even I was just talking to one of my friends where I'm like, okay, you know what? I just want to do a road trip. I don't even care if it's just a day trip, just somewhere outside of the city, just to get away and go somewhere where there's, as she referred to it, nature, which is a beach. But even to try and plan something like that, it's like, okay, got to make sure that we pick a place. I have gas in the car. I have the CAA ready. All of those things. You've got to have it all figured and planned out. Know that you have the money for it. Oh my God.
I said I want to go to the beach.
Rondeau Park.
Which one's that one? That's the one over
Past Wheatley.
Oh, yes. I was thinking of the tiny little one that counts as a beach, sort of, in Tecumseh area between the, like, the high rises and the house.
Oh, Stop 26.
Yes, that. That tiny little area. You walk out and you're like, look, there's sand. Walk back. Okay, I'm in the city.
I want to go to Point Pelee.
Well, I mean, I live out here. Head on over.
I haven't been to Point Pelee in years, since I was a teenager.
I went to Point Pelee. I walked it a few times with my ex because she had, like, the yearly pass, which, okay, again, so this is another thing. Even to go to Point Pelee, like, she paid, I think, for, like, the summer pass or the yearly pass, whatever it is that they do there. I'll say, like, $50 for the family one or $100, something like that. Which is sad because that works out to being cheaper for her and her family compared to paying every time that she goes, because I want to say it was $5 a person per visit.
Mm.
And it was like, it is a nature area and we're going to charge an arm and a leg for. So if you go once every 20 years, yeah, it's a great price. If you're someone who goes regularly and you just don't have the money up front to pay for a pass like that, you can't go.
I thought they just charged you like per carload, like per car.
Okay, so we'll put the question out there to the expert. Cherie Starling, what are the costs of getting into Point Pelee? Email me so we can let our listeners know next week. Cherise drives the shuttle there.
Oh, okay. I'm getting, you know what? I lied because I did go to Point Pelee once with my husband, my ex-husband, and it was awful because he absolutely ruined it because he doesn't like walking anywhere in nature or doing anything like that. And
I would have pushed him in the undertow.
Of course, it's something like that I like doing, right? And he didn't like doing anything I like doing. So he kind of ruined it. He just like would be like a giant child and pouty and start bugging like, oh, how much there longer?
There was no compromise, eh?
No.
Of course not.
He absolutely did not hide the fact that he disliked doing whatever. Whenever I made him do something, he did not hide the fact that he disliked it. And then he just made it miserable for me. And so then we just wouldn't do it again because I didn't want to have to deal with the miserableness.
Yeah.
Another way to isolate me.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, so I can see how the cost of mortgage, rent, groceries, gas. I can see how that could, like, literally wreck a person mentally.
Oh, 100%. If you're a single person and you're trying to pay for all this,
yeah,
it you can see why people have mental breakdowns and end up on the street with it. Not even because they don't have jobs, just because they literally cannot afford the cost of living that's going on right now. And it just eats away at you.
What really just irks me and makes me so angry to no end is when my dad and his wife are like, why can't you afford this? Where are you spending your money? Like, you make good money. Why don't you have money? Why can't you afford this? Why are you behind? And it's like, oh my God. Like, do you have any concept of like what things cost? Like, I don't, like, I, you know, my dad, I get, like, you're 70 years old and you came from, like, you bought a brand new Mustang and it cost you $5,000. Like, how much does a Mustang cost now, right? And it's like, you built your own house and you were given the piece of property. right? And you built it yourself with, like, your dad and your brothers and stuff. You didn't pay somebody to do it.
Yep.
And you were given the land. So, like, I don't know. It's just like you don't have a clue as to what things truly cost. Like, you fill up your car, like, probably once a month. Like.
So, Taylor, let me ask you. being single and you're over 30, right?
Yeah, I'm 31.
At a girl.
Oh my God, to be 31 again.
Do you ever get somebody asking you why you still live with your mom?
You know what's weird is that no one actually has ever asked me that question, which I can remember when I was younger, I fully anticipated. I thought for sure that everyone would be like, oh my God, why do you still live with your mom or anything like that? And I don't know if it's because people know that I'm close with my mom. So it's just always been a thing. And I think it's, for me, she always raised me. Like, I can remember growing up, I absolutely loved my house growing up. We had a fully finished basement, main floor, and then the upstairs. I had the entire upstairs to myself, because I was a spoiled little only child. So I had two rooms. I had my room and my playroom and a full-on bathroom. Because fuck yeah, only child. But I remember my mom always taught me, and I assume that it's because of how she was raised, that when you have a place like that, you always want to have income options. So the basement was used for renting out. I think most of my life growing out, the basement was rented out. I'd say majority of the time, at least 90% of the time, we had someone living in the basement, helping to pay for all the bills, so that if we ever went through a hard time, like when my father got fired from his job, or if my mom wasn't having as many clients, we always had the extra income, so the bills were always covered no matter what. And that's even when I bought my place years ago. It was, I purposely looked at it as like, okay, if we got into trouble, the in-law suite would be able to be used as a rental unit, rent it out, have it cover the bills. If I lost my job or when my mom got sick, as it turned out, it was perfect because I was able to put someone in there. So for me, I always look at it as, number one, my mom's getting older, obviously. So I'm an only
She's
child.
She's the same age as me.
And you're getting older.
To be fair, wow.
Oh my God, just slightly think, younger. You could be Taylor's mother.
You know how many people at VP thought Taylor was my child?
And this was before we actually really even talked. Like, we had just started our friendship and people were like, oh, is that your mom? I'm like, who?
Like, her? No. I feel like I picture the movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. Because of the height difference, it would be like, seriously?
Wow, there's like I a better foot. Have been Arnold.
I was just saying, there's a foot difference in height. I'm just picturing how big of a baby you would have had to pop out to have me.
Oh my God, I she would have been again.
She would have been split in two.
She's got. You weren't even bored yet. She had like four legs. Get your legs. We're already sticking out.
Don't worry, Ma. I got this. We're walking.
Finish your thought now.
I'm just picturing
your
little
mom's getting older.
So yeah, as all of you now definitely know, my mom and Dana are actually the same age. Dana's slightly younger, but when my mom and I have always talked about it, it's always just made more sense of, I can't fucking afford anything to live on my own. She sure as shit can't afford anything to live on her own. She's gotten sick to the point of almost dying twice now. I'm like, why would I put myself through that hardship of trying to live on my own just to conform to society's norms of, hey, you're supposed to live on your own. You're an adult. Hey, I don't want to live on the street. Like, I have no desire to experiment with living in my car.
So, we've talked about this before, my son having, like, really bad anxiety to the point where we ended up homeschooling him through high school. He's 21, and he still lives at home. And somebody asked, and God, I wish I could remember who it was, asked me when I intended to tell him he had to leave. And I remember looking at that person and said, and I said to them, never, ever will the words come out of my mouth to any of my children, it's time for you to go. I said, he can live with me until I drop dead. I do not care. I would never kick my child out.
Mm-hmm.
Person said, but he's an adult now. He's an adult with anxiety so bad. He doesn't like to go outside. So what, you want me to send my anxiety-ridden son out onto the streets where the chances of him becoming a homeless, schizophrenic weirdo walking the streets? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? I know eventually he's going to be able to get a job. And he may say, I'm moving out. He may say, I'm still living here. It doesn't matter to me. But I know that when the time comes that he does get a job and is a productive member of society, if he's still living here, 99.9% positive, he's going to say to me, either me or his father, here's some money for rent and food.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've raised my children right. But, it goes for you and your mom, Taylor. You guys live together. My son and I have a good relationship. I can see, God forbid my husband drop dead tomorrow, I'd have a big insurance payoff, but
uh-oh, Norm.
You know, I wouldn't sell my house, move into an apartment where my son wouldn't be with me. I know that Brendan and I would still have that good relationship where we could live harmoniously in one dwelling.
Yep.
Without him losing his shirt trying to pay rent.
Well, my sister, her kids still live at home. They have jobs and that. One's 19, her youngest, and I hope she doesn't get, I don't get this wrong, that her daughter is 23. And they still live at home, and they don't, they have jobs and that, and my sister doesn't charge them rent or anything. I think she told them they have to pay for their own phone bills now.
That's fair.
Understood. At a certain point, when Sam was working in that, we still paid for things, but, the majority of her makeup, her clothing, things she wanted, she paid for herself. I don't know. I guess I'm not a parent who can look at my child, whether they're working or not, and say $400 a month, buy your own food, buy your own laundry detergent, buy your own soap, buy your own towels. You know, it's not in me to be like that.
Well, and it honestly, it's never made sense to me when I've seen those kind of parents. Like, I mean, for me, I've seen them on TV.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know anybody that's like that, but I'm just saying.
But it's one of those things where... Okay, then you have Peanut.
Sorry, Peanut. But I don't technically know your dad.
This is true. But the way I look at it, it's like... You shouldn't want to have your children struggle and suffer. Like, I've seen it on TV and movies where people, the parents like, oh, well, I had to struggle through things and I made it work. It's like, no, the whole point when you had a kid was that you're like, I want my kid to have better than me. So why would you make it suffer through life and be like, okay, well, now that you're 18, get the hell out of the house. I'm kicking you out. You got to go get your own job, find your own way. Like, that doesn't make them good people. That doesn't teach them better things in life. Like, no, like, it teaches them anxiety and depression.
We always joked with Sam that she was on the 18 and out program.
Yes.
But again, like I said, operative word here, joked.
Yes.
I never officially told my child she had to leave the nest. And I mean, the thing is, it's September now. Her and Phil will be moving into third place at the beginning of October. And at one point, all of her stuff is going to be gone out of her bedroom, except her bed, because Phil's bringing his. And it's going to be like, I've got this empty room.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell am I going to do with an empty room? You know what I mean?
Yep. Hi, Mom.
You had Peanut really early in your life.
just to let you know, Peanut, you got to share the bathroom in the kitchen. But we have a dishwasher.
That'll be it. Kick the kids out. We're moving in.
I'm kidding. But you have two more cats.
And knowing your mom, Taylor, mm-hmm. like having met your mom and
yep.
conversing with her and knowing she's a very good person, I honestly believe that if the time came where you said to your mom, I'm moving out, and you didn't take her with you, she would be absolutely heartbroken because mm-hmm. of that relationship you guys have.
Oh, 100%.
I wish all parents had relationships like that with their children.
It's hard to find and to come by. Like, I mean, obviously, it's basically been her and me against the world. So I'd say most of the stuff that I've learned throughout my life has been from her saying, hey, if you have money issues, make sure you have a rentability area. If you have this going on, make sure you have this. Do this, don't do this, because I was dumb and did that. It worked out poorly for me. Don't make my mistakes. So I count myself lucky. Like, yes, we have fights and we butt heads over things. But who doesn't? Like, there's no relationship in the entire world where you're like, oh, no, it's 100% harmonious all of the time. Oh, lying sacks of shit.
IT was crabby yesterday.
See?
So it's not always harmonious.
Does he listen to this? Does he listen to your podcast?
No.
Okay, so Dana almost drugged him yesterday, too.
Because I what?
He almost drugged him yesterday, too.
That was the best part. Okay, he's getting real cranky. We're getting the Tylenol PMs up in here.
Oh. He eventually came out of it. So, you know, by the time... And all I did was... I sat on the couch. with my cross stitch, and it was me, my cross stitch, and Ted Bundy. Because I like serial killer documentaries while I cross stitch.
This is so relaxing. And then he peeled off her face.
So, you know, but he eventually came out of it, and we were able to talk without me wanting to punch him. and it wasn't because the words he was using, it was the tone and the look on his face. And I'm thinking, you know, I know your back is hurting. I've been where you are on the pain scale. For the love of God, man, take something stronger than an extra strength Tylenol or it could kill you. Because when you're hurting, you're mean. So, yeah. As it was. After dinner, and again, dinner, we had chili dogs. After dinner, all was harmonious. Him and Brendan went to the pool store. They got chlorine, dropped it in the pool. He came home and he was like, I put my cross stitch away. And he's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I've got 36 minutes left of Ted Bundy. Just let me finish watching this. And then we'll find something to watch. And as it was, we ended up watching the latest season of What We Do in the Shadows. And had some good laughs.
Right? I like that show.
But yeah, it's not always harmonious.
That just goes to show that even when it's not harmonious, you still love them.
And again, dear listeners, don't think I'm perfect either, because I can be a bitch too. And I apologize later. Like, I'll be like, I'm sorry I was a bitch. But it happens, you know.
Well, I think that's it. I'm just thinking if this is where we're going to end the episode. You're saying sometimes I'm a bitch.
I'm a bitch. I'm a mother.
That's it. Well, I'm just going to go.
Let's end it with hopefully any of our listeners out there that are young, heading out onto their own and wanting to buy a house, don't get discouraged. The time's going to come where you're not going to have bidding wars for homes that would sell for $150,000, and are going for $400,000. I mean, if it means you got to stay at home a year or two longer, stay at home a year or two longer. If you're really serious about buying a house, save your money. Don't pay rent just because you want to get out, unless the situation is that you need to get out.
Yeah.
Try to stay where you can save money for that down payment, and you can get pre-approved, and you can find a dwelling that you can afford. It's going to happen. Like, it can't be this bad for the rest of their life. Hopefully it's not this bad for the rest of their life. So, like, just don't get discouraged, please. Just try to think positive. If it does, like, get your anxiety going, just deep breaths. Take an Ativan. Be calm, smoke a joint, do whatever you need to do. And just know that hopefully it gets better for you.
I think that's a good place to do it, and I highly agree with you. So, as always, the reminder of...
Because I know it's coming.
Oh,
haven't even gotten to it yet. Zena's like, son of a bitch, the homework.
Zena, you've had 2 weeks to think about it.
I should make you guys give 2 examples. So, as always, our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. You can find our episodes posted on my personal Instagram at goddesstaytay25. It's also posted on Dana's X, which used to be Twitter, under Scooby, S-K-O-O-B-I.
71.
That's the one with 71. Or on her TikTok under Scooby, S-K-O-O-B-I. And
by the way, if you're going to follow me on TikTok, use your real name. Don't try to tell me that you're Elon Musk or David Brumstead, because I'm not going to believe you. Taylor knows what I'm talking about.
It's amazing. It makes my name so much better.
I get the weirdest, like, I'll get, like, all these TikTok notifications that all these famous people are following me, and I'm like, yeah, no.
Jason, I love it. The 52 different versions of him, I fucking love it. Jason Momoa is following you. Sure, okay. Bring it on. Let's go.
So, let's, yeah, go, you Aquaman. Find me on TikTok.
And then, of course, you can also follow us on our Facebook page under Depressed Breakfast Club. We post the episodes each week. And we also do posts, interactive posts on there, and quotes and anything that we kind of find that talks to us on our mental health, or what we think would also talk to other people about their mental health. And now for the most dreaded part of the week for Joyelle. What's something you're either grateful for this past week, or grateful for these past 2 weeks, or love about yourself?
So I think you guys are going to be surprised with this one, because we all know how, like, my relationship with my dad is. Mm. But it wasn't always like that. So on Friday, I actually took my dad with me out to a farmer's market. And we actually had a really nice time. My dad actually was like my dad. He wasn't like scolding me about anything or lecturing me or anything. We just had an actual like normal conversation, and he bought me my veggies, some of them. So it was actually a pleasant time. So I'm thankful for that, because I don't get many of those with my dad.
I think that's a really good one.
So yeah, it was a good day.
I love those good days.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he's still my dad, right?
Like, yeah.
And honestly, Peanut, and he's old. I think his significant other is a lot of
the problem.
Is the canary chirping in his ear?
I agree with you a lot on that, because, I mean, there's, my sister would disagree, because, like I said, I think my dad was harder on her. Was more ignorant to her and than he was to me growing up. And before he got married, it's kind of like Taylor, it was like me and him, you know, against the world, dealing with my mom and dealing with everything and stuff. So
I think that's a good thing that for this week to be grateful for. Yeah. Dana, what about you?
As odd as it sounds,
Oh, I can't wait for this one now.
I guess that's this week is the odd week.
Because you guys know things. I'm thankful that I got to spend another birthday with my mom. We had chocolate cake. Well, they had chocolate cake. I technically couldn't eat anything on her birthday because I had to have a fat-free diet that day.
Like, I just want to lick the icing.
A lot of white rice, people. White rice. But we had, my brother came over for the day. Him, my mom, and I played Kismet, which is a game like Yahtzee, but it's colored dice. We ordered Chinese food for dinner. We had chocolate cake for dessert, coffee, tea, and it was an enjoyable day to say my mom turned 77 and we celebrated another birthday with her, because I know there's a lot of people out there that don't get to celebrate another birthday with one of their parents or both their parents. So yeah. Kayla.
What? Your turn. For me, I am actually very grateful for my mom's friend Kelly, because, well, as you girls know, I've been going through the hell with the car and the engine dying. She loaned me her car last weekend, and then, because I had asked her about it, and then this week I was fully ready prepared to have to extend my car rental into this weekend. And she messaged me, I think it was Wednesday night, saying, Wednesday or Tuesday, saying, hey, do you want to borrow my car this weekend? You could have it Thursday morning, which worked out perfectly because Thursday was when I was supposed to bring the car back. So I am extremely grateful for it, because it meant that it cut down a couple days off of the car rental, and I was able to make it into work for overtime that I volunteered for on Saturday, because I apparently love my life and want to be there more. So I'm incredibly grateful and thankful to have her in my life, where, like I said, she didn't even hesitate. She was like, hey, do you need the car? Here you go. As a side note, her car's fucking awesome, and I want it forever. However, after I got it home, I looked at what it was, because I'd never heard of a Blazer before.
I'll get and you.
So
Chevy Blazer?
I was going to say, yep, Chevy Blazer. I had never heard of it before, never paid attention to it before, has an awesome sound system, all of the gadgets to it. It has butt cooling. Not even just butt warming, but butt cooling.
I've heard about that.
You know how weird and unnerving it was the first time that I sat in it, and I'm like, why is my crotch cold? What is happening?
I need that. My vajayjay's always hot.
It's frozen down there. Yeah, you definitely are the ice queen.
I'm just picturing the meme from the old lady for Titanic. It's been 84 years.
Oh. We're getting there.
Okay, on that note, goodbye.
Don't forget to listen to us on our platform, and please, guys, leave comments and likes on the platform.
Yeah, go to Podomatic.com, search Depressed Breakfast Club. You can find us there. Taylor's having a fit, so we're all going to say goodbye now. Bye now. She's waving. Bye.